Welcome to the Joy of Healthcare podcast. On this podcast, we discuss how you can make money and put people at the center of everything that you do. I'm your host, Jessie Israel. I'm a nurse and a population health leader for a health system in Colorado and Montana. Today, I'm completely humbled to be talking with Kevin Riddleberger at Dispatch Health. If you haven't heard of this company, prepare to be impressed by today's conversation. Kevin is a PA by training. He has a physician partner, Dr. Mark Prather, and these two have single-handedly created an entirely new level of care with very little competition. What they're doing is sending ER-trained practitioners into the home to care for both kids in your neighborhood, as well as keeping really sick seniors out of the hospital. And they're doing all of this on their own homegrown technology platform and scaling this model successfully into more and more states and communities. It's a real pleasure to be talking with Kevin. I do want to warn you that we are in one of those open air kind of hipster offices that used to be a warehouse that's transformed into open roofed offices in downtown Denver. So there is a bit of background noise during our recording, but I think it is totally worth the listen and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Today, I'm very excited to have with me Kevin Riddleberger. He is the co-founder of Dispatch Health. Kevin, Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Kevin Riddleberger. I'm Chief Strategy Officer, co-founder of Dispatch Health. I'll give you a little bit of background about myself, and then we'll get into Dispatch Health and the history of the company itself. I'm a physician assistant by training, practiced for about 10 years, and really at that time looked at opportunities where we could improve the way that we were delivering healthcare as a provider, the way that technology could play a role in delivering care, as well as patients accessing care. And lastly, how do we all work together to be able to be successful of transitioning from a fee-for-service world to a value-based world? Dispatch Health got its start back in 2013 with a partnership with a local EMS agency called South Metro Fire Rescue. This is located in the south part of Denver. We developed an 18-month pilot with them to be able to study and look at the impact that we could make on taking low acuity 911 calls, pulling them out of that expensive system, and being able to definitively treat those folks on scene. And what we found was we had dramatic results over the course of that 18 months, saw very passively only 400 patients. But when you take into account the costs associated with the 400 patients, we saved well over $1 million in healthcare costs. If you take the $1,000 on average ambulance ride here in Colorado and the $2,200 ER visit, we pulled them out of that expensive system and treated them at a much, much lower cost than seeing them in the emergency department. We also tracked these patients for 30 days afterwards to make sure that we were definitively keeping them out of the ER and hospital versus them us putting a Band-Aid on them and then returning to the ER right afterwards. So we leveraged the health information exchange here in Colorado called Careo to be able to track them at 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, 30 days to make sure that we were truly definitively keeping them in the ER and tucking them right back into the primary care physicians. We since then have grown considerably since that proof of concept phase, and happy to dig into that a little bit deeper later in the conversation.
Yeah, that's great. I have a lot of questions for you, but specifically on your ambulance pilot, did you have some sort of waiver, or how were you able to treat those patients? I know it's kind of a tricky space with the home health license or waiver, or how'd you do that?
Yeah, I mean, as a we are clinicians, and you know, we you know, really are following our medical license to be able to deliver this care. We've also, you know, contracted with all the payers to be able to get paid for this service as well too. So much different than a home health, you know, type service line. These are ER trained nurse practitioners, PAs, docs that we have in the vehicle, delivering the care on scene, and being able to, you know, definitively treat those folks, evaluate and treat, and bill accordingly based on house call codes that CMS has used for years and years and years that we're able to pull out and really repurpose them in this new model of care.
So a lot of people have tried house calls. Even here in Denver, there's been some folks that are still doing it, and they've been doing it for a long time. What's the difference between those people and Dispatch Health? How are you successful?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of movement, which is super exciting. You know, if you look at the history of the house call, you know, back in the 1930s, 1940s, about 30 to 40% of healthcare was delivered in the home. If you then, you know, fast forward to the 2000s, less than 1% of healthcare was performed in the home. The market projections moving forward is that we should see about a 20% increase in the amount of care being performed in the home over the next 10 years. You know, where we differentiate ourselves, there's a lot of home-based primary care work being done, and that's your traditional house call that you often think about. It's the black bag, you know, showing up to the home with a stethoscope and maybe a blood pressure cuff, and being able to evaluate and take care of those folks. This is a little bit different. You know, I often describe this as a house call on steroids because the treatment capabilities are much, much, much greater. And, you know, being able to safely take care of some pretty sick folks, having those treatment capabilities in our vehicles and the skill sets with our ER-trained providers to be able to take care of those individuals with acute medical needs safely in their home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. So you're mentioning the coding, and potentially, this is the area where you're different from those other folks. Are you using something special out of the fee schedule, or are you just using your primary care codes?
You know, they're actually based on, you know, number one place of service. So there's a little different codes that you would use an assisted living facility versus a skilled nursing facility versus a home setting. But it's, you know, based on, you know, E&M codes that any provider would use in the office based on, are they new, established, the level of the visit itself. And that's how we bill on the Medicare, Medicaid side of things. A lot of the commercial Medicare Advantage plans that we work with, we actually develop case rates with them and, you know, try to simplify that coding process to make it easier for the patients themselves as well as the payers being able to process, you know, these claims.
Yeah, you answered that perfectly, because what I was really getting at is the regular Medicare and Medicaid codes aren't enough, mm-hmm. right? So there must be something else, and not to give away your secret sauce, but that makes a lot of sense with the case rates and trying to make things more simple, if you will. So one of the thing I wanted to talk about the most today is I am completely fascinated why nobody thinks of Dispatch Health as competition. When I talk to a skilled nursing facility or a home health agency or even a primary care office, nobody seems to think that you guys are encroaching on their business. Why?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I often, when we started this, it was very, very important for me, you know, and my co-founder, that when we approach, you know, a market, you know, what we do a poor job historically is we live in our silos, in the healthcare delivery system. Whether you're a primary care physician, specialist, the hospital itself, we have room for improvement to be able to work together to take care of a population, a patient themselves. So we work very closely with primary care groups, work very closely with home health agencies, senior communities, whether it be independent living, assisted living, memory care type units, skilled nursing facilities, to be able to really be an extension of their services. So we're not trying to take away business at all. We're trying to work collaboratively to be able to work together to take better care for that patient. And so, you know, a lot of it is, you know, 99% of it is performed on the acute side of things. So when individuals have acute medical problems, they may not get into their primary care physician. Primary care physicians, our hands are they're tied behind their backs a lot of times, and they often send these patients to the emergency department when we could be an alternative to be able to treat those folks. Home health agencies, so they're graded by CMS the number of patients that they are sending to the ER or to the hospital. Their scope hits a ceiling. And so if we can be an option for them to go out and take care of these patients in the home, it provides value for them and their patients where they can keep them rehabbing in their home and not having to, you know, disrupt what's going on and send them to the hospital or the emergency department. We can take care of them, tuck them right back into that home health rehab program, and, you know, continue with our business. They continue with their business. So it's a very integrative, collaborative type approach to the market and how we work with these entities.
You must be doing a really good job with the communication loop, because again, we're not hearing complaints about your service. So how are you getting the information back to home health agencies, skilled nursing, assisted living, primary care physician?
Yeah, and that's the other, piece to this is making sure that we're following up on the continuum of care. So making sure that care is coordinated, and we're not disrupting that care continuum. So it's communicating with these entities. It's communicating with them. Maybe it's over the phone when they are requesting care with us. It could be when we are on scene with the patient, we're contacting that home health agency, we're contacting the primary care physician and really updating them. It's not rocket science. It's about, you know, taking that extra minute or two and talking with someone. You know, I mean, it's valuable, you know, for people to hear about what's going on with that given patient. We also do we have a lot of focus on making sure that we're getting our clinical notes backed into the hands of those providers. So making sure that they are kept in the loop on the care plan and, you know, making sure that they can execute on following up with that patient.
Yeah. So who is your competition? I'm curious.
Yeah. So, you know, if you look at our, where we've grown, we've, you know, started in the Denver metro area. We now have 8 vehicles operating in the Denver metro area. We have starting next month, we have 3 vehicles operating in Colorado Springs. We have opened up markets in Phoenix, Richmond, Virginia, as well as Las Vegas. And so when we think about our model, there's not a lot of competition. And I don't mean to say that with arrogance at all, but there's different companies doing house calls. There's different companies doing on-demand care via mobile app, kind of an Uber-esque, you know, type model. But, you know, where we differentiate ourselves is the integration with existing care teams, the level of care that we're delivering in the home. Not a lot of people are taking on, you know, that type of care, as well as the payer contracts and working with payers to make sure that this is a, covered benefit for them versus more of a concierge type service. We service the Medicaid population, Medicare population, the commercial line of business, Medicare Advantage line of business, managed Medicaid and various markets that we serve. So it's continuing to deliver that value. 65% of our business is in the geriatric space. Individuals that historically are high utilizers of the healthcare system because of their underlying comorbidities, we're able to help them age in place versus having to send them to the hospital or the ER for unnecessary reasons.
It's like you've created a totally new level of care. And I said this like a year ago before, you know, as you guys were really taking over. What, do you have a name for it? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but what is this new level of care called?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
it's not necessarily just house calls, right?
No, it's definitely not. I mean, we have a tagline, bringing back the house call that we use, but it's really more of the evolution of acute care delivery. Our vision is to redefine healthcare delivery. And if we can build a, you know, technology platform to help more entities deliver this care effectively in the home, I think we're going to do a great thing for healthcare in general. We are just as much of a technology company here at Dispatch Health than we are a provider company. So, you know, we're right now sitting, if you can imagine, right next to a software development team that's building, you know, all of our software to help our providers, help our patients access care, you know, more effectively. And if you can think about the home and the value of the home moving forward in the next 5 to 10 years, that's truly going to be the individual's medical home. We talk about a medical home right now, but I really believe the home setting, you're going to receive care more often in that home relative to your primary care, relative to acute care. You're going to see ancillary services being delivered to the home more often. That could be imaging, that could be DME, that could be pharmacy. And you're seeing parts of that being done across the country, but you know, you'll see some interesting companies like Dispatch Health building a technology platform for that to happen in a more robust way. More of that across the healthcare industry. It could be one system and another system working together. We need more of that. And I think, you know, our society is going to become healthier versus sicker. And, you know, we're going to be, you know, we're going to have more success taking care of populations.
What about things like the phone apps and use this blood pressure cuff and, you know, those kinds of ancillary services? Again, I imagine that you probably have a lot of those people wanting you to use their equipment or becoming their physicians, right? The phone apps are a really big deal right now too.
Yes.
To do kind of doctor on the phone.
Yep. So all of our, you know, our model itself, individuals can use a consumer app that we've built that, you know, based on their geolocation, they can enter their symptoms. That gets submitted off to us. We can pick that. We get a text message that identifies a new care request that comes in a given market. We then get on the phone with them and start to risk stratify them. You know, the other connected home, you know, capabilities are you're seeing more and more out there. There's, you know, entities that, you know, the fallen, I can't get up, you know, type life alerts, systems that are out there that, you know, that we have interest to be able to help them because, you know, historically you have two different options with those life alert systems. It's either, hey, I need assistance, or can you contact one of my family members or a staff member, or transport me to the emergency department? Could there be a third option there that says, hey, you know, send it over to Dispatch Health. They can risk stratify them to determine if it's appropriate for us to go out there and treat them. Again, avoid that trip to that emergency department is something that we're looking at. And individuals that are transitioning from the hospital to the home in the post-acute setting, you know, you're equipping them with weight scales and blood pressure cuffs and glucometers. You know, is there algorithms, you know, put in place where that data triggers entities or individuals to be able to act on? And I think that's an interesting piece that we'll continue to look at. Again, it's about, you know, how do we get patients the right resource at the right time? And if we can do that together, we're going to be more successful.
Do you risk stratify patients with humans or technology?
Technology and okay. Humans. So I can tell you, so we've built a proprietary risk stratification tool internally that based on your chief complaint.
Kevin, when you say proprietary, it sounds fancy.
Oh, yes. So it's something that we built internally. So it goes back to our ability to create technology and solve problems ourselves. You know, a lot of times as a provider, you have to conform to a vendor or a piece of technology in a way that you're practicing. We build things that are helping solve our problems. And so based on your chief complaint, based on your age or gender, you are started to be scored. You know, based on that that information, you're presented with appropriate follow-up questions that, again, the scoring methodology continues. And we help humans to talk to patients and understand, are they low risk, medium risk, high risk? Low risk, you know, green is go, continue to onboard them, collect more information as to what's going on with them in that given situation. Medium risk, we do have a human interaction at that time. And that's where we actually escalate a screening protocol to one of our ER-trained nurse practitioners or PAs or docs, where they actually get on the phone with a patient themselves and make that decision and determine if it's appropriate or not to see them. High risk, we actually get them to the emergency department, the closest in-network emergency department to receive that care. And it's really in that instance, a lot of individuals don't know where to go at a given situation. So it helps them to really be, you know, that Sherpa and to guide them to the appropriate level of care.
How have you scaled this out across multiple states?
Yeah, so we've had a very busy 2017 where we opened four additional markets, three of them outside of the state of Colorado. We'll be opening up two additional markets next month in Houston, Texas, as well as Oklahoma City. And by the end of 2018, we should be in 10 markets across the country, projected to see about 55,000 patients in 2018.
Wow.
Should save around $80 million in unnecessary 911 transports, ER visits, hospitalizations. So, you know, we are moving very, very quickly to be able to partner with the right, you know, payers, health systems, et cetera, in a given market, and, you know, replicate the model that we've, you know, really, you know, continue to massage and perfect here in Colorado.
And how close is your hand to those other markets? I guess what kind of challenges or bumps have you had with, you know, the expression, well, my region's a little different?
Yeah, I mean, it's healthcare's local. And so I am now you know, I've practiced in Colorado for, you know, 10 plus years and you know, have been in the health IT world for many, many years as well, too. So I really understand the Colorado market, but I now am a expert in the local healthcare market in Richmond, Virginia, and Phoenix, Arizona, and Las Vegas, Nevada. And so it's really all of us educating ourselves as to what how to position ourselves in that given market. And you know, yes, we want to replicate, pick what we're doing here in Denver and do the exact same things in these other markets. But, you know, you can't replicate everything. You know, you have to be able to, you know, conform to what's going on and what's local in that given market to be really successful there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the patients. It's interesting. I guess I had in my mind that that dispatch was doing mostly like pediatric low acuity, but what I'm hearing you say is 65% of your population is 65 or older, right?
It is.
65.
Yeah.
So that's more of the kind of hospital at home model.
Yep.
What kind of cracks do you see patients falling through? Do you see something that's consistently happening everywhere?
You know, I think it's, you know, consistently what you're seeing that is there's a big problem across the country of individuals, you know, heading to the emergency department that really don't need to be. And that could be a lack of access. That could be health literacy problems. But, you know, we're able to be an option, an alternative for them and to be able to come to them versus having to, you know, put the family in the car, put mom in the car who may have mobility problems, who may have early dementia. And, you know, that transition from the home to a hospital, you know, sets back that individual with early dementia a considerable amount. And so if we can keep them in a, you know, very comfortable, you know, surrounding, that helps, you know, that individual recover from that acute problem. We do treat pediatrics all the way up to the geriatric population, but we tend to do more in the geriatric space. Excuse me. And that's a lot of it is due to their underlying comorbidities. They are historically higher utilizers of the healthcare system, and we're now an alternative, an option, you know, for them, and working very closely with their primary care providers to treat those acute problems, but for that primary care provider to maintain their chronic disease management relative to their diabetes, hypertension. You know, they're able to continue with that care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like you guys are definitely at the front of healthcare transformation, like actual healthcare transformation, not just the kind that we give lip service to. So this is a totally loaded question, but what can we in the healthcare space do to be better? Like, what can we do next? How can we be better? We're kind of broken.
Yeah, you know, it's we often hear that, you know, in healthcare that healthcare is broken. There's a lot of opportunities to be able to improve, you know, what we're doing. And, you know, some of it is really, you know, thinking outside the box. It's you know, I don't think technology is going to solve, you know, all problems, you know, relative to the healthcare. But we also have to be we have to embrace technology and what it could do and how it could help us deliver better care. I think, you know, we have to, you know, work in more coordination fashion from, you know, it could be the local grocery store and the impact a local grocery store could have on one's health. I mean, if you think about what impact, you know, the society has on one's health, you know, a large portion of it is relative to their social determinants. And it could be, you know, working with the Lyfts and the Ubers of the world and help with transportation. It could be, you know, working with the local grocery store to help them and those individuals pick the right foods that may have CHF. So, you know, I think it's you know, working with your local communities, figuring out, you know, where technology could help out, and brainstorming to think differently. Because, you know, if we're not going to think differently or act differently, we can't stay in this status quo in what we're doing in healthcare. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, change agents, and we have to embrace that. You know, we may fail at things. We may not see success, you know, right off the bat, but that's okay. You know, you need to fail to be able to, you know, get some traction, you know, in the way that we're going to improve healthcare in the future.
Mm-hmm. So along those lines, if there was two Kevins and Kevin had to start another business tomorrow, what space would you get into? It's not this one.
You know, I think I have a lot of interest in the actual VR space, virtual reality space. Okay. I think in healthcare there is a lot of different you know, options there to be able to educate individuals. It could be pre-surgical education. It could be you know, ways to be able to help with mental health, you know, conditions. You know, so I think, you know, content related to medical education, patient education, you know, workflows within virtual reality and healthcare, I think is really interesting, you know, to me. I also like the future of the connected home. I think we're far off there and what impact it can really make. But, you know, if we can get the right artificial intelligence, you know, built and be able to leverage data in an effective way, you know, we could do some very interesting things to continue to help, you know, patients stay healthy and move away from our, you know, current sick care system to a true, you know, healthcare system. So those are two, you know, areas that I think are interesting to me. But, you know, certainly Dispatch Health is keeping my mind, you know, very, very busy.
Fully
you know,
engaged.
As is. Yeah.
So what's next for Dispatch?
You know, it's continuing to mature the model and continue to you know, expand our value proposition and all the markets that we're operating in. Like I said, we're in 5 markets today. We should be in 10 markets by the end of 2018. It's continuing to work with all the different, you know, healthcare, you know, partners that I spoke of, you know, during this discussion, and, you know, building technology to really have a platform to deliver help more healthcare in the home. And, you know, we think about the different verticals, you think about really an on-demand supply chain in the home. And that's, the imaging, capability to home-based primary care, to hospital at home, to acute care in the home. We may not deliver those things, but, we'll have a pretty robust, we currently already have, a logistics platform to be able to understand, where the right healthcare resource needs to go. You think about the Domino's pizza driver. We are building, a logistics platform to compete with the most, complicated logistics platforms out there. And, I think that could be leveraged in many other different, healthcare verticals.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin, this has been really, really exciting, and I can't wait to watch you guys grow like wildfire, which I'm sure that you will. I have a final personal question for you. What's something that you've done in your life that you're the most proud of? It could be this.
From a career standpoint, this is certainly, to make an impact, a positive impact on something you truly have passion for. I couldn't see myself ever being outside of healthcare and, I may not be treating patients every day, but, I know what I'm building here is making a very big, impact on healthcare delivery. My family is just as important, if not most, and raising my two awesome, kids, twins, 6-year-old twins, boy, girl, and my wife, who's also in the healthcare industry as a PA in dermatology, so she understands it as well too. And having her support, us kind of raising two great kids is also a something I seek out every day too.
Great, I can see raising two great kids plus adding an entire new level of care across the entire country. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, how can people find you and learn more about your success, watch you grow? Maybe you could teach them about your success.
Yeah, you can find information on dispatchhealth.com. You can reach me on K Riddleberger is my Twitter handle. I'm on LinkedIn. So happy to talk with individuals and where I've come from and what we're doing here at Dispatch Health.
Well, great. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode with Kevin Riddleberger at Dispatch Health. I still can't get my head around how quickly these guys are taking over, not just our state, but really across the country. And I won't be surprised a bit to see this model is going to be covering the U.S. over the next couple of years. And I'm sure that these two are going to be right at the top of that. If you're enjoying these episodes, please let me know. I would love to hear from you. Or if you have any suggestions about future guests or other people that you'd like to listen to on the show, please email me. You can find me on our website, which is www.joyofhealthcare.com. Thanks for listening.